Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We heard this morning the story of Bartimaeus, and this is the last story in Mark chapter 10. We've been in this chapter for about, what, 4 or 5 weeks now. And here's the story that there was a line that caught me, and it says, Bartimaeus wants to see again. Did you catch that word again? Which means at some point in his life, he had been able to see. He was not born blind. But now he's not able to see. Blindness, back then, was an indication that you had done something wrong, and so you were being punished by God. And so what happens is you're put out of your synagogue, you're put out of your home, you're put out of your town, you're put out of the city, and you're left on your own. And that's why we find Bartimaeus outside of Jericho, right? It said, as they were leaving Jericho, they came across Bartimaeus. And his life had been reduced to begging. What must it have been like for him to have lost his sight? You know, we tend to take sight for granted, or anything that we may have, and not even think twice about. And that could go for anything, right? We use our thumb all the time. You break your thumb, what happens? You realize how much you use your thumb all the time, something you didn't realize before. How about if you injure a toe? All of a sudden, you realize how important those toes are, and you never realized it before. How about when you have clogged ears, right? Something that you took for granted. All of a sudden, you start to not be able to hear anymore, and you're all of a sudden recognizing, oh my gosh, I took this stuff for granted. Now, we don't know Bartimaeus' story, meaning we don't know exactly how he lost his sight. It could have been an accident where he lost it suddenly, and there's that acute, painful awareness that something is now lost and that his life is changing. Or it could have been something that happened over time. Losing your eyesight over time. Losing your hearing maybe over time. Losing the functionality of your body over time. What happens when we lose something over time? We don't even realize that we're losing it, do we? We have no idea. That just kind of becomes the new norm. And you have no idea that it's happening until it's gone or it's restored. I can remember as a child, I had no idea that I couldn't see as clearly as other kids. I had no idea. How would I know that? Until I went to school. And then in the first grade, my grades weren't too good. My mother was like, come on, you can do better than that. And then in second grade, my grades still weren't too good. And my teacher said, you know, we were a big class back then, 50. There were 50 kids in the class. And so, and I went to Catholic school. And so what you did was every week you rotated your desk. So the teacher would get to know you. So you'd sit in the back, and then the next week you might sit in the front. And so all of a sudden the teacher made the connection that when I was sitting in the front, my grades were better that week and progressively got worse as I was sitting in the back. And she said to my mother, I think she might need glasses. You might want to have her tested. And sure enough, when I was tested, that's when I realized that I couldn't see. That was when I realized it, because it was just normal for me to not be able to see and to try and figure out. You know, they'd say, don't you see that number two? Oh, is that what that is? Because it didn't look like a number two to me. So I'm curious as to what happens when we start to lose something and it becomes the new norm. 500 years ago, Martin Luther, who was a Roman Catholic priest at the time. Roman Catholicism and the Eastern Orthodox Church were basically the only two Christian churches at that time. And so Martin Luther was a priest, and he prided himself on being a really, really good monk. He would call himself the monkier or the monkiest of the monks. That's how good he was. And if you understand his life, you would recognize, yeah. And some might even call it, I think he was a little obsessive compulsive there going on. But what happened was he got so used to what was going on around him, as I think many did in the church as it existed at that time, that there was an unawareness that started to come over people, perhaps that blindness, that new norm that was happening. And so Luther is asked to go to Rome to deliver. There was a conference that was happening with the other Augustinian monks and cloisters. And so he was asked to go to Rome. And when he got to Rome, it was as if his eyes were opened for the first time. He was in shock at what he saw. He saw extreme poverty, and he saw extreme richness. Again, keep in mind that the church at that time was everything. It was the government, so to speak. It ran your entire life. You did everything based on what the church said, because that's how everything was structured. And so when Luther saw this, he was just so dismayed when he saw this. And what he also saw was the beginnings of what was indulgences, or what was it? I don't know that it was the beginnings, but I think it's when it became over the top, and I hate to use the word corrupt, but it sort of became over the top. Let's put it at that. So Martin Luther, all of a sudden, his eyes are opened, and he's saying there's something really, really wrong here, that we are saying that people can buy merits or good works to be able to get to heaven that much quicker and out of a place that the church had called purgatory. And so when Luther went back, he was so upset. He was then sent to Wittenberg, and from Wittenberg is where he really started to understand Scripture, because he had to start teaching Scripture. You know, as a monk, he didn't have to teach it. But then what happens when you have to teach something? Any teachers here? You learn it like you've never learned it before. And so he jumped into the Bible. And what began to happen was that he began to understand that what was happening was not what the Bible had taught. His eyes were slowly beginning to open, and then more, and then more, and then more. Because at that time, and again, it's at that time, there was a new indulgence that the Pope had released, and that was to help fund the building of the Basilica, St. Peter's Basilica. And so there were special indulgences that were released, particularly to the people living in Germany. And when the man came along from the Pope, his name is John Tetzel, to sell the indulgences, Luther said, but this is wrong. This piece of paper, your last scrap of money that you just used, is not what's going to buy your way out of purgatory and into heaven. You see, Jesus Christ died and rose, and that is where your heavenly ticket comes from. It is a free gift that's given to you. You see, Luther's eyes began to open, but it wasn't just his eyes that began to open. When he saw the injustices, he couldn't keep his mouth shut, I would say, yeah. So much so that when you read some of his writings, you're like, oh my goodness, he is just downright crass sometimes. And in today's vernacular, when we call things what they are, well, that's what Luther did in those times. He just laid it out and called it what it was. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He couldn't be blind anymore to what was happening. It's as if he was beginning to see for the first time. You know, I think that's what's happened sometimes to us. Things will happen in our life that it becomes the new norm. When you hear of a school shooting these days, at first, what happened? You were in shock, right? We were all in shock. We shivered. We were like, how can this possibly happen? And when we hear this now, it's almost like it's become the norm. It's another one, as sad and horrible as that is to say. We're almost becoming blind to what's happening before us. We see these stories of privilege and power being used to oppress and to keep people in their proper place. We see this all the time. Did you know that there are various kinds of cocaine out there? But there's the powder cocaine and there's crack cocaine. Now, crack cocaine tends to be in the hands of a class of people who have been kept down for a long, long time. It's a cheaper version of cocaine than the powder cocaine. If you are caught with powder cocaine, perhaps you might get a slap on the wrist and a fine and you're set free. If you are caught with crack cocaine, you will be incarcerated. There are more and more people who have been kept down, impoverished, that are being incarcerated at ridiculous rates. And there's a reason for that. Privilege and power. There are certain people that want to hold on to that. How about the story of road rage? Do we not hear that all the time, the most recent that happened? Because we have this feeling of having to be right all the time. You cut me off, I'm going to get even with you. And shooting just seems to be like not an issue these days anymore. And it's almost as if we're becoming blind to that. And that becomes the new norm. How about the stories where we are prejudging all based on the actions of a few? We begin to become blind and just start lumping the all into the few. So 500 years later, we are still blind and seeing ourselves as we need to see ourselves. Children who are bound to preserving the self at all cost. Yet 500 years later, perhaps we are still blind in seeing ourselves as we need to see ourselves, as children of God who have been set free in Jesus Christ. Listen to the question that Jesus asks Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? Do you know this is the exact same question that Jesus asked the disciples, James, the Zebedee brothers, last week? What do you want me to do for you? And what was their answer? Oh, we want to sit at your right hand and your left hand. We want the power. We want the glory. We want all that comes with that, the wealth, everything that comes with that. These are two people that were the first to be called by Jesus, had been following him for 3 years. And how did they respond to that? And yet Bartimaeus, when the question is asked, what do you want me to do for you? What is the answer that he gives? I want to see. And it's not physical sight. Yes, it's physical sight, but it's a sight that goes beyond that. He wants his eyes open to see the Messiah. He wants his life restored. But you know something? He could see already, being blind, what the disciples were totally unable to see when they had their sight and were with Jesus for 3 years. Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was, the Son of David. The Christ. How amazing is that? Sometimes I think that's what can happen to us. You know, we're like, yeah, I've been Christian my whole life, right? And it's sort of like, but we still don't get it sometimes. Me, right in there with everyone else. And then there are others that come along and say, but of course this is the Christ. But of course I'm in Christ's presence. They know it right away, even though they haven't experienced it before. How awesome is that? What do we need to see on this very day? You know, Reformation, what happened 500 years ago, that was not a one-time event. It's a daily occurrence. Being reformed happens every single day in us. But it happens not for us alone, but for something. Christ freed us from the things that claim power over us in this world. The power to be self-sufficient. The power to gain as much wealth as you can. The power, you know the powers. You can answer the powers, can't you? And those, I'm not saying those are horrible things to have, but if that's what you're striving for versus striving for God's kingdom and doing God's work and those things come and you share, that's a very different story than it's, I want to be right all the time. I want to hold the power all the time. I want to call the shots all the time. Jesus freed us from that kind of power, and he gave us a different kind of power. And that kind of power is the power that stands with those who are hurting, with those who are crying, with those who are suffering, the kind of power that stands with those who have been abandoned, slandered, or criticized, the kind of power that stands with those who are oppressed, held down, and cast aside. And we saw that. We saw that this week in all who went out for the family of Corey Jones, who stood there, who stood beside, who suffered with, who cried with, who called for an investigation with. Our conversations need to be turned away from moving, they need to be moved and turned away from the me or the I, and they need to move to the you, to the us, to the world, because that's the movement God made. God left God's heavenly throne and came down to us in this messy life and took the form of Jesus. God came to me, to you. God came to us. God came to the whole world, freed us in his death and resurrection, and reconciled us so that we can be for you, for us, for the world. Reformation is not an event. It is an ongoing reality that's happening today. Jesus asks us this question every single day. What do you want me to do for you today? As freed children in Christ, the answer for us, the you, reflects back out to the other. And we say, Lord Jesus, we want to see you as you are. We want your eyes. We want your ears. We want your heart. We want your light to shine through us for others and for the whole world. That's what we want. That's what we get in Christ. Amen.